Hello, everyone. Welcome back to episode who knows what of the Split Decision Pod. It is 11 o'clock on Friday, and I don't know about you, Paul, but I got my wish because I'm back in the booth with you. So how are you doing today? How have you been? And what are you looking forward to this upcoming new year in mixed martial arts?
Oh, well, first, it's episode 36. I had to look it up myself. I'm hyped. Excited to be back. What am I looking forward to most in 2024? It's got to be the return of the Mac, doesn't it?
The hypothetical return of the Mac.
This is allegedly the year he comes back, right?
I've been hearing that for 2 years now.
That day, you know, we're inching closer than ever. So,
surely it's this
year. What about you, bud? What's on your the top of your wish list? Besides the Mac.
The Mac, obviously. The Mac is back 2024. But anything, honestly, just to finally get it over with, I would like to see Khamzat become a champion in any division this year. I mean, it feels like he could have been a champion 3 years ago if, you know, the performances and booking kind of went the way it could have. But here we are in 2024, and we still don't even know if he's next up, or if he's going to get a title shot this year.
I would say my wish list is to see him fight twice, at least multiple times this year.
No, literally. Well, it's crazy that he, when he first came to the UFC, he got three fights. He broke the record. He got three fights in 5 weeks, something crazy like that.
You know, people usually when they get, once you start getting the international attention and, you know, get up in the rankings, you don't, you know, you're not fighting schmucks anymore. Yes, you're not fighting Gerald Meerschaert anymore on back-to-back weeks notice. So it makes sense. But no, I would say my wish list for Khamzat is just get him two fights this year. Please. I would love to see him fight multiple times. Because although I don't really like him, I love watching him fight, and he's must-watch TV at all times, obviously. But,
I think we get him on 300. But
I hope so. That'd be great.
We shall see. The last episode, what was the last thing we talked about? Was it had to have been Kobe Leon, no?
Yes, it was. That was the last pay-per-view of 2023, and now we're going to kick it the week starting tomorrow. Of UFC 297, the first pay-per-view event of 2024.
Yes.
But I don't know what you wanted to discuss, but I'd say we go over some of the cards before, after this card, I say, first, before we give our predictions of
for this card,
297, just because we have some stacked cards coming after.
We got a lot of matches to discuss.
Unfortunately, I would say this is the main event for this card tomorrow is must watch, but the rest of it, honestly, from a casual fan's perspective, might not be the most most entertaining. But, I was saying, a lot of matchups announced. Usually, you know, I go through all the matchups, but honestly, they're all just 298, 299, 300. So, that being said, 298 is February 17th, so in about a month exactly. Main event, Topuria, Volkanovski, obviously. But then, you know, Whitaker and Costa is slotted for the co-main, but I heard that isn't quite official yet.
I don't know. You never know. For Costa, it's literally a flip of a coin. Well, actually, no. That would imply it's 50-50 that he makes the fight.
I would say it's more of a
roll of the dice.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, then we have Jeff Neal versus Ian Garry. Should be a banger. Cejudo versus Defalishvili. I think I might be most excited for that fight, to be honest. Oh, besides the main event. Ikram Alaskera versus Anthony Hernandez.
They're saying that's probably the best main card. I mean, UFC 300 hasn't been solidified, and I already know there's five main card-worthy fights on that, but that one is tasty.
It is the main event,
as far as we know, is better. It's probably, of all the main events that have been announced, that's probably the one I look forward to the most. This year.
Definitely. But then we have, then there's a couple undercard fights. But then UFC 299, which I think might be, I mean, that it's one of the craziest, where did I have a screenshot of the whole card. If I could find it. But it's, geez, I love when I don't. I should have marked this.
Well, I know the headliner is Sean O'Malley versus Chito Vera.
Here we go. Sean versus Chito 2 can be great. And Poirier versus Benoit Saint-Denis. We've been saying for a while, at least I have, but I think you agree with me that it was kind of annoying that Poirier was just only willing to fight, you know, Gaethje, Chandler, all of it. Like, he was just only fighting, you know, the guys at the top when, you know.
For the money, big money fights.
Yeah, and he, coming off a loss, I thought it was time for him to at least defend his spot in the top three. Mm-hmm. And yeah, now we're getting that. And Benoit St. Denis, I mean,
scary,
tough fighter. I really respect Poirier. He's probably, I mean, if there's like a boogeyman of the like the division that's not in the top five, obviously, like you got Oliveira, Gaethje, Poirier, but like outside of the, like he's got to be the toughest fight.
You think BSD is?
I mean, I would have to say so, dude. He's
like, if you're Dustin, are you taking, who would you rather take, Armand or Benoit?
Oh, yeah, probably Benoit, but
Well, I guess you could argue Armand's been around for such a long time now. He's not really a boogeyman type character.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, outside of the top five I'd say he's the toughest guy to fight, which I respect Dustin for now. But, yeah, that's slotted to be the co-main. And then Gilbert Burns versus...
Every time I think of Gilbert, I just think of when Connor called him.
Dude. Yeah.
Fat and chubby and something else.
Yeah. well, Burns is slotted to fight Jack Della Maddalena. Another phenomenal bout that should be. Curtis Blaydes versus Jailton Almeida should be a, I would assume, I guess maybe not a number one contender. I mean, if Almeida wins, maybe he gets the title shot. No, maybe one fight away, but... Those guys are one or two fights away from a title.
Yeah, I remember when after Almeida had fought, they were talking about him fighting Gon. But, you know, I said, I mean, he put up not a stinker of a performance, but such a boring fight that
it's
I was like, I was like, I don't, Dana's not going to like that. They'll just do the rematch with Blaydes, and here we are.
But then we got Kevin Holland, obviously a household name, fighting a legend of the Bellator. Michael Venom Page making his UFC debut. I think that has, like, fight of the night. Although, I mean, this whole card does.
Those brothers are going to stand and bang.
But that's just the main card. And then we have highlight of the prelims, Piotr Jan versus Song Yadong.
Yeah. That's how you know that card's stacked. The fact that could highlight, or that could be a main event, like, at a UFC fight night in, like, Atlantic City or wherever, whenever they go travel.
Imagine telling a fan, like, after he accidentally kneed Aljo in the face, he'd be highlighting a prelim in 2024.
Sad. I mean, not sad because I'm watching it for free, but, you know, he should still be headlining pay-per-views for
all. No, that's brutal. Mm-hmm. But then the last noteworthy one, we have Gamrot versus Rafael Dos Anjos. not even the highlight of the prelims. That's quite.
Well, it's Gamrot.
Crazy. I mean, yeah, don't get me wrong. I don't care about Gamrot. I hope RDA wins. RDA is probably not going to win, but I hope he does.
Usually when we see guys win as the backup fighter, we see them kind of get rewarded with something, maybe like a main event, co-main event. This guy got rewarded with the co-main event on a prelim.
Yeah, no, I don't really care. who cares? But, yeah, I mean, also there's Michelle Pereira versus Michael Olex. I can't even say his last name. Oleksii Jusik.
Yeah.
And Caitlin Chookagian versus Macy Barber should be a good fight. Pedro Munhoz versus Kyler Phillips.
Mm-hmm.
Do not. I mean, we were saying it's pretty. It was gonna be hard for UFC 300 to top 299, but I think honestly, they've done a pretty good job so far.
Yeah.
And we don't even have a main event yet. And I want to ask, who do you? What's your suspicion of the main event for UFC 300? I was curious.
Here's my thing. I saw people getting, like, so nervous, all like, really fast for UFC 300. Like,
you know how social media is.
It's in April. We're still in January. Like, we're lucky we're even getting the fights announced this far in advance.
I know.
So,
and there's been every single one is going to be a banger.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're acting like, I don't know. It's the fan, or the fans just get a little bit antsy sometimes. I mean, I'm sure I get like that too, but I was very calm. I trusted Dana was going to pull some strings, get some
Dana
stuff done.
Dana always cooks.
Yeah, anytime you see that fat, chubby pink face come on your screen, you know that he's about to drop a banger. But, if I had to take a guess, bless you, Jack.
Bless you.
If I had to take a guess, who's going to main event? Honestly, bro. And I don't say that. Maybe this is me getting my hopes up. But there's just a part of me. There's a part of me that really thinks the Mac might be back on that card. There really is. I don't know. I think it gets announced. I think another fight for it gets announced tonight for sure.
You think so?
Or tomorrow night. Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, honestly, during 297, maybe.
I would imagine, I think there's going to be a combination of the winner of this event or of tomorrow's main event between Duplessis and Strickland and either Adesanya and Chimaev. It could be all four of those fighters on that card somehow, some way, or three of those fighters, who knows? But I know for a fact that middleweight title will be on the line at UFC 300 as well.
I was going to say that was going to be my prediction, is that they're going to give the winner of this a shot to defend the title against Adesanya, would be my guess.
But is there name value there?
Adesanya. Yes, there's quite. I've been wanting to see, obviously we got to see Strickland Adesanya, that was interesting. I've been wanting to watch Dricus versus Adesanya.
Here's the other thing, Pereira's going to be on that card too. Dude, I'm fairly confident in that.
I thought when Izzy said he was going to step away from fighting, before he said that, I thought Pereira Adesanya 3 was just going to, I thought that made perfect
light
sense. The trilogy, the third fight, yeah, for the 300, you know, at 300, I thought that made sense, but I don't know how I feel about that anymore.
I think most people have kind of gotten away from that idea, especially since Izzy lost. And, you know, we both know at this point that both guys could beat each other on any given night. So really, it's just like, if you throw him in there again, it's just like, it's going to be a great fight, but, you know, we've seen it before. Yeah. I don't know. I think someone like Pereira,
something interesting that I wanted to, I'm looking at and thinking about as we speak here is, I don't know when Islam is going to fight next. But, you know, we have potentially, I would say, two number one contender fights here now with Oliveira and Arm. Obviously that was a number one contender series.
Yeah, that's confirmed number one contender.
Yeah, but what do you do with the winner of Gaethje and Holloway? What else does Gaethje have to do?
Yeah.
To get a title shot.
Clearly, they probably give him a big chunk of change to defend that BMF belt.
It's got to be quite a bit. Holloway, and if Holloway wins, what else do you have to do besides beat the BMF of the light?
Yeah,
the light,
you'd think that's light heavyweight shot if you beat Gaethje moving up.
Yeah, either. Yeah, I don't. I find it a hard time.
Yeah.
Saying that, Max Holloway, you just beat Justin Gaethje.
Now
you got to fight again.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to fight again before you get a chance at gold. I don't know.
I feel like I think something the UFC's been doing recently, which I don't think has been to their benefit, is that they've been doing number one contender fights, and then they'll do another number one contender fight.
Yeah.
Before that, the other guy you're giving the title shot to has even fought.
Yeah.
So then you put these guys in positions where it's I beat the number, say, 4 or 3 ranked guy in the world, and that should get me a title shot, but I still got to wait for this guy to fight this guy in 3 months, and then who knows how beat up they're going to be after that, so.
Yeah, there's a lot of action, which, isn't bad from a fan's perspective, but I do agree that I think this is a perfect example of that right there. Who knows who's going to be next?
Yeah,
I think if Armand, it's hard to deny the winner of Oliveira versus Armand. It's just Gaethje and Holloway, I guess, are going to have to sit out.
Yeah,
or something.
Literally, the winner of that is going to fight Makhachev in, let's say, International Fight Week in June or sometime in the summer, right?
Most likely.
You fight him in the summer, and then it's like, if you're Justin Gaethje or Max Holloway, potentially you fight by the end of the year again. If not, you're waiting till early.
Sure Gaethje probably only fights, he's fighting twice a year, probably maximum. Yeah. Not nowadays, but. Yeah,
that I would say about that Gaethje Holloway fight. I think the closer I get to it, the more appreciation I will gain for it, because that is going to be straight head trauma for both those guys.
Yeah, no, I
that
definitely
is head trauma. That has head trauma written all over.
I'm super excited for that fight, but might as well, I guess, real quick before we get into this weekend's card, just name off the other fights we got. As of now, it's not the main event, but it's going to be a title fight. Zhang Weili versus Yan Jonan. Yeah. Jonan, I'm not sure how you say that.
What if that is the main event, though? Are you mad at that?
Yes. We got Justin Gaethje versus Max Holloway for the BMF title at 155. As we said, Oliveira versus Armand Sarukian. Sarukian's dead. Prohazka versus Alexander Rakic. That might be. We were saying.
I think that's headlining the prelims.
That could be headline of the prelims. Calvin Kattar versus Aljo Sterling for Aljo's debut at featherweight. That's on the prelims. Nuts.
I would argue that Aljo deserved a little bit better than Calvin Kattar, to be honest.
But, yeah, he did, honestly.
But I don't really know who else is at featherweight right now that's available.
And who else would be wanting to take that fight?
That's true.
I do respect cater for that because this is a brutal. I mean, that's a tough
Sterling's
fight.
Sterling's annoying.
Sterling's going to be a big dude at 145.
Yeah.
But else, we got Bo Nickel versus Cody Brundage. Bo's probably going to wipe him quickly.
I don't understand that type of matchmaking still to this day, but.
Yeah. At least you know, they're taking it slow, though. You know, you don't want to rush him in there and get him slept and then he's done. From a promoter's perspective.
He's going to get slept eventually.
I mean, most likely,
I would rather see him do it now. No, actually, that's not true.
If you get chinned once, you may never be the same afterwards. You never know.
And I think he has the type of look of somebody who might be chinny, to be honest. I mean, he's never really seriously been hit. But
I was gonna say, no, he's never really taken a punch either.
But I can't wait till he's in an actual fight. Well, maybe that'll be by the end of the year. He's fighting, like, guys who can test him.
Yeah, but... speaking of guys who got chinned and never were the same, Cody Garbrandt versus Davison Figueiredo at bantamweight. I'm super excited for this fight. I love Figgy. I think Figgy's awesome. I'm going to have to be cheering for Cody on this one.
You got to pray he doesn't get touched.
Can you imagine if Cody wins this fight, dude? He's back at the top 8 fighter in the world.
They're gonna ask for him to fight for the title after that.
Probably.
Especially if it's someone like Sean O'Malley.
Oh, they hate each other, too.
Yeah, especially for how much I dislike him. He is a smart businessman, and Cody Garbrandt coming off a win versus Davison Figueiredo.
That makes sense.
That's red hot. That's red hot right there.
Makes sense, but I'll be rooting for Cody. I'm excited. Last one, as of the ones that are confirmed right now, we have Jim Miller versus Bobby Green. Jim Miller's still going at it.
Yeah.
He's a BMF himself.
He's good, man.
No, he's tough. He looked good in his last fight. He's pretty quick for what? I think he's 43, 44. Yeah. That's quite impressive. And Bobby Green, you know, who knows? Jim Miller could hit him once, and who knows if Bobby's the same after that brutal beating he took versus Jalen Turner.
I have that image ingrained in my head.
It's sad. Sad. Face down, Bobby Green. And his tatted bald head just getting trounced off the canvas.
Referee just looking at
referee
him.
Just sitting there staring, like, what are you doing?
There's no defending going on there whatsoever.
Like, if that's Makhachev, dude, let him go. We're talking about Bobby Green. Come on. But, yeah, that's all we got for the events that are after tomorrow night's bout. So I guess that, you know. I guess it's time to get into the predictions and the overview of this. Of what's going down tomorrow night.
Stacked card, top to bottom. Stacked.
Way more stacked than 299 and 300.
No, unfortunately, every now and then, like I'd say like one every 5 pay-per-views, the UFC just has one that's very main event heavy.
Yeah, you got to put up a stinker eventually.
Yeah, I mean, you only have so many fighters, you know, and who wants to go to Canada to fight, you know?
Sean Strickland didn't.
No, you did not. But yeah, that's where UFC 297 is taking place in Toronto. Yeah, Toronto?
Yes, Scotiabank Arena.
Scotia. And yeah, it's the cards itself, like name value perspective, not the best. But PJ, we've been in the fight game for long enough that we understand that just because the name value might not be there does not mean the card value, fight value itself won't be there. So there's like some fighters who's like, if you're a little bit more experienced in the game, you kind of know what they're about, you know, that they have some skills, some sort of attraction to them. Looking at the early prelims, a name I recognize, Jasmine Jaza Yudavish. She's Canadian.
Jazza Duvicious.
Did you actually pronounce that right?
I don't know. I just gave my best shot.
That sounds really good, to be honest. I swear I've seen this girl fight on every single prelim I've ever watched.
Who, Jasmine?
Yeah.
Yeah. She just lost to Tracy Cortez.
Ah, of course. Yes. Yeah. Oh, that was actually a good fight.
It was.
That was a good fight.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I know she brings it because that was a close one. I think that was like the one. I think it might have been a split decision, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
And then moving up in the card, Pauliana Viana, I know her because Twitter loves her, not for her fighting ability, but, you know, always not too bad to have Pauliana on the card.
Charles Jourdain.
Yes.
I feel like his hype train kind of got shot down a little bit. But
I remember when he's on the up.
He's won 2 in a row again, he's a Canadian, so good to get him back on the card. He'll be fun to watch, especially Sean Woodson, who, what's he called? Oh, my God. Who did he fight where I... Yes. I remember I had money on him beating... Who was it?
He fought this Mexican guy one time, and it was the weirdest fight ever. Let me. Oh, was that not him? No, it was another person.
No, yeah, this Luis Saldana guy.
Yeah.
And it ended up being a draw.
Because
Woodson got, like, deducted a point because he, like, I forgot what happened.
No, I think Luis got deducted a point.
Or somebody got deducted.
He threw, like, I think he tried to.
Oh, you're right.
He tried to soccer kick him.
He did. Something stupid happened like that.
Yeah, bro, he had that fight in the bag. He had him hurt, too.
Yeah, and I think he was about to finish him, and he just hit him illegally.
At one point, he knocks him down, walks away. Like, it was a walk-off KO, but, like, Woodson was still, like, you know, still had his wits about him. Yeah. So then when he seen the referee didn't stop it, he, like, I'm pretty sure he just runs across the cage and, like, tries to kick his head off.
Yeah, something stupid like that.
Oh, my God. I remember DC was going in on him. He was like, that's one of the stupidest moves I've ever seen.
But, that'll be an okay fight. And then we got the Ultimate Fighter champion. I mean, he's got a BMF last name. Brad. Look, he's Canadian as well. Brad Katona.
That has to be a lock, no?
He's a lock. He's not losing. Versus Grant Armfield. Brad Katona making his second debut in the UFC. You know, first time coming back.
Yeah, they thought he was toast, but he's still the bread.
Yeah, he fought at Brave CF for quite a bit after getting released by the UFC. I can't believe, I forgot he fought Mirab.
Yeah, I was just looking at that. It's crazy.
Yeah, but
Brave's a good promotion, though.
It is, but just coming off the absolute banger of a fight with Cody Gibson at UFC 292. I remember Cody Gibson said that all Brad was going to do was just hug his leg, and Brad butched his face. But, that highlights the prelims. So, like we said, not a lot of name power, but definitely could get some scrappy fights.
It's like a good indie film, you know? It's like if for someone who, like, knows the filmmaking process, you know.
You appreciate it. But for the casual fans' perspective, you know, you might be like, all right, I'm just going to tune in at the main card.
It's like, I'm not going to go watch Midsommar in theaters. I'll just wait for the highlights to come out.
But, hey, Midsommar's a good movie, I gotta say.
I've heard.
It's a weird one, but it's good.
Exactly my point. That's just like this card.
Exactly.
That's like
it's weird, but, you know,
it's good.
It's just to defend Midsommar like that.
It's got potential to be really good. But, I mean, now we got the main card going on. I'm quite indifferent about, honestly, all five fights here. I'm not going to lie. Actually, there's one I'm pretty confident in.
We know which one it is.
Yes, but, first fight of the main card here, actually a very big fight at 145. Arnold Allen versus the undefeated Mosvar Evloev. I don't know if I said that right. Evloev
sounds good to me.
Sounds good enough. But Allen's first fight since last April when he fought Max Holloway and took a pretty bad beating.
Mm-hmm.
And, Mosvar, obviously, still undefeated. You know, kind of a decision merchant here. He's got
seven
consecutive decision wins, one by split. Does not have a finish yet in the UFC, actually, now that I look at it. And, what are we thinking here? What do you got?
Honestly, I'm pretty confident on this one, I feel like. I'm going to go with Arnold Allen purely because I just think Mosvar is not too good on the feet. His wrestling, as you were pointing out, he's a decision merchant, so his wrestling is kind of what gets him those wins. It would suck to see him hold down Arnold Allen for two rounds and then, you know, that be the fight right there. But I think Arnold Allen, he's a very good fighter. He trains with Leon Edwards. Leon Edwards, in his own right, has very good takedown defense, and I'm sure some of that has kind of worn off on Arnold Allen as well. So I'm going to go – this is going to decision, though. I'll tell you that right now. I'm going to go Arnold Allen, unanimous decision.
Okay. Arnold Allen seems to be, like, a lot bigger, but, I mean, he's only one inch taller, actually. But I don't know. You know, Mosvar, he's obviously, I mean, you can't be a slouch and get to 17-0 in your MMA career. But I have to actually agree with you on this one, even though, you know, he did beat Diego Lopez, who is a future champ.
Diego was short notice. Come on, man.
Yeah. But, I'm actually going to go exactly the same as you. That's what I was thinking. I'm going to go Arnold Allen also by UD. Mm-hmm. I think he has the advantage on the feet, and I think he is the longer, a little bit longer, a little bit bigger. I think he'll be able to. Actually, Mosvar's got a 2.5-inch reach advantage, and if I'm wrong about Mosvar on this one, then the 145 division might be screwed because if he easily beats Arnold Allen,
that'll annoy me. But
yeah,
I mean, it's like, who wants to watch that guy fight Yair? It's like, I know it's gonna happen.
Yeah.
So Arnold Allen handle it before someone else has to do it.
I hope so. But move on to the next one. I know a guy you like quite a bit here and a fan favorite who's in his hometown. Chris Curtis versus Marc-Andre Barrialt. Yeah, I feel like Chris Curtis has been fighting for like, I feel like he fights like every other week, I swear. Yeah. But what are you thinking here?
This one's real tough for me, to be honest. It's like, I am a big Chris Curtis guy, you know. I think he has good skills. He's a good, solid fighter, but
30 wins, 17 of them by KO.
Yeah, lots of experience. Marc-Andre, I feel like I've seen him fight a lot, but also have not seen him fight at all. I definitely watched his last fight, but definitely can't remember what it happened.
Marc-Andre, he beat Eric Anders.
Oh, I forgot that one ended because of Clash of Heads. I think he kind of got screwed in losing that decision to Gastelum because he also got headbutted in that one.
Yeah. No, he's had some bad luck as of recent. I do feel bad for Chris Curtis.
Well, I think luck's going to be on his side this weekend. Now, take that with a grain of salt because I do like Chris Curtis. But, I mean, whenever he can implement his game plan, him and Sean kind of have similar styles. They kind of roll that shoulder. It's mostly boxing, very hard to take down. Once he gets that going, he gets his jab going, I think it's very hard to stop Chris Curtis. And from what I remember, Marc-Andre, pretty sure he gets hit a lot. So wouldn't be surprised if Chris Curtis gets to him this weekend. Also a decision, though. Chris Curtis not really known as a finisher like that.
Marc-Andre, he's kind of just a killer-be-killed type of dude. So, with that being said, you know, Andre's a bigger dude, but, I don't know, Chris Curtis, he's fighting on the same card as his buddy Sean Strickland. I feel like he's got to get it done. Yeah. I'm going to go third round knockout. I think they kind of, you know, drag into the deep waters and, Curtis just kind of over time is going to hit. Yes.
I can see that as well.
Just going to hit Marc-Andre so many times. It might not be a massive shot, but he might just fall.
Overwhelm him, yeah.
Yes. So, I'm going to go third round TKO, Chris Curtis.
I love the way you think sometimes, man.
I appreciate that. You know, I do try my hardest up here. I'll tell you that much.
I know, something's going on.
But next fight, the easiest one in my opinion here. I'm just going to say, I think proper Mike Maylott versus Neil Magny. Neil Magny somehow has the most wins in welterweight history. I don't even know who let him. I don't even know who he's beating here.
I really don't because he's always getting ranked guys, but he's never beaten anybody who's ranked above 10.
He beat Phil Rowe, but I feel like everybody. I'm thinking of a Phil Hawes, but still.
Hawes also, he just got knocked out last weekend.
Yes, but Phil Rowe was by a split decision. Burns just demolished him.
This career is crazy.
Lost to Shavkat, obviously, but he submitted D-Rod, obviously.
But you 1 minute, you know something I'm going to point out that's crazy? He's never lost back-to-back fights.
Dude, just get out of here.
Yeah, I would have never thought that. Yeah,
well, he did at the beginning of his UFC career, but that was 10 years ago. 11 years ago, actually.
Yeah.
He doesn't even look that old, if I'm being honest. I mean he's 30. I mean, his face actually does a tad, but I don't know. He's just got a weird resume, to be honest.
Is Gunnar Nelson still in the UFC?
No. Did he fight Gunnar Nelson?
He didn't fight too long. It was a canceled bout, but.
Oh.
I'm just looking at it.
He fought like last year, I thought, and he won.
He did. I'm looking at it now. Yeah.
Who was it?
Brian Barbanera.
Yeah, he beat Barbanera.
He had UFC 286. Usman. Yeah, that was Usman Edwards. 3.
Yeah, I remember that.
Jesus.
But, Neil Magny has a weird resume because he's beaten guys. Back end of his career, he beat Carlos Condit, Johnny Hendricks. He's beat Kelvin Gastelum.
Li Jiliang.
Yeah, I mean.
Lawler. He beat Lawler?
He beat Jeff Neal, too.
Yeah, Jeff Neal.
He's got some solid wins, which is, you know, then he's lost to Ponzinibbio. He's lost to RDA. He's lost to Damian Maya. Lost to Ian Gary, you lost to Michael Chiesa. What are you doing? But I'm going to go and get it out of the way.
Yeah,
Mike Maylott's knocking this dude out in the first. I really like Mike a lot. I hope he ends up being a contender. I'm going to go second round just because I honestly think Neil Magny's got a somewhat a pretty solid chin. He's got a Magny's got a 7-inch reach advantage. Tough. I'm going to go second round knockout Michael Malott.
Yeah, that's really the question here. Is it first or second round for Mike Malott? I'll agree with you. I'm going to go second. I think it's pretty technical at the beginning of the first round, and then he swarms him in the second. I like Mike Singh, though. He goes by strength or by strangle, or by strikes or by strangle.
Yeah, no, he's the funny guy. Like, when he talks, he enunciates all his words so properly. Yeah. Proper Mike. Properly announces all of the way. It's just funny when he's talking trash. Yeah. But, he's got 3 subs and 1 TKO in the UFC. So, you know, maybe he knocks Neil Magny down and subs him, but I'm going to go with the straight... Hopefully a flatline KO.
I mean, yeah, this is going to be his first big, well, not big test, but bigger.
I mean, no, he's
his
solid.
Biggest test in the UFC thus
far. It's your classic, guy on the come up versus a guy in the back end of his career just trying to defend his spot. You know, hopefully not like a Rob Font versus Adrian Yanez type deal. Geez. Hopefully proper Mike will get it done. Imagine I'm going second that. Round. You're going what?
I'm going second as well.
Second
round strikes.
Alrighty. Well, with that being said, we got 2 championship bouts, a massive championship bout coming up next year.
Which one are you looking forward to
in the co-main event? We have Raquel Pennington versus Mayra Bueno Silva. And actually, if you watched the press conference yesterday,
good.
They might be coming out for blood. You know, there might not be a lot of name power here. Nobody might care about this fight, but I promise you.
This is my bathroom break. Then
you ever seen that meme? There's like a meme, and it's like when you're in the bathroom and Joe Rogan goes, and it's like
Patrick Starr
running out with his underwear. Yeah. That's great. That might be low key what happens here, but
I mean, this is the co-main event for the vacant 135 women's title, formerly held by the women's GOAT Amanda Nunes. You would have thought Juliana Pena would have been in this one. I'm kind of glad I didn't have to deal with her this fight week. Honestly, actually, it would have been cool to see her and Sean on the same stage because I feel like some of the stuff that Sean has said about this co-main event.
Juliana would not. She would talk.
She would not let that slide.
She would be yapping the whole time.
She would not let that slide.
Juliana's a Hall of Fame yapper.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
That actually would have been great to watch, to be honest, to see Sean Strickland going at Juliana Pena.
I thought it was hilarious when Buena Silva and Pennington were talking trash back and forth. Dude, if you saw Sean Strickland in the middle of them, he was laughing so hard. It was so funny.
No, that was good to see. It was good to see. Because, like, to be honest, PJ, I'd have never watched either of these two women fight for a second.
You didn't watch Buena Silva versus Holly Holm?
No, I thought she got that loss win taken away because she was on the sauce. I mean, she looks like Wanderlei Silva in a wig and heels. Oh my God!
What do you got here for this fight?
I got the brute, the one who looks more like a man than the other. I'm going with Bueno Silva. She's gonna kill her. I've never watched her fight, but I know she gets a lot of finishes, and I know Pennington has been around for a while. She's 15-8. That's a horrendous record. Like, how is that a champion?
15-9. Yeah, no. Well, she was 10-9
at
one point.
Crazy.
You know, she was actually 10-9, and she's won 5 straight since her loss to Holly Holm.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, I mean that record's ugly. She's getting a title fight off of
a split decision victory over Ketlin Vieira. Yeah.
Yeah, she's dead. She's dead. I'm going to go with Bueno Silva, second round submission.
Nice. Okay. Not much more I could say, honestly. I like Mayra Bueno Silva by third round TKO, actually, via ground and pound. She's going to get her second career TKO. I don't think she has one in the UFC yet. But, no, she does. Actually, yeah. Nope. I'm going to stick with it. Screw it. Yeah, third round TKO. She's going
to
ground and pound.
You think it goes to
Pennington.
3?
Yeah, you know, she might not hit her hard enough yet.
I mean, who knows? Maybe honestly, whoever wins, good for you. You get Pena next. That's fun.
Yeah.
But, I mean, obviously, I'd like to be right on this one. But if Pennington, the old savvy vet, goes out there and Yeah, good for her. Maybe, I don't know, she'll probably walk out of there with, like, $80,000 or something like that.
Now for the main event.
Oh, come on.
And what we've all been waiting for. And I've loved this whole...
So good.
The relationship between these two. Good. I actually really, really, really like two. I, like, don't want either one of these guys to lose. I like both these guys so much.
I do.
Because these guys, you know, they scrapped. They got in the scrap at UFC 296. They, you know, Strickland DM, Duplessis. A lot of stuff that, you know, he said he would
don't talk about my childhood, basically.
Inflict damage on him if he continued to bring up his childhood. And then on UFC Embedded on Wednesday, we see them clash in the hotel, shake hands, dap each other up, smile. And, you know, Sean said, thank you for being understanding. Mm-hmm. And Duplessis said, no problem, man. And then, you know, they say best of luck. Then at the press conference yesterday, you know, they both said they respect each other. Well, Strickland at least said he respects Duplessis. Yeah. They gave a nice firm handshake. They're going to fight to the death.
I believe them.
Oh, yeah. These two are warriors. Yeah. I like Adesanya, but, you know, he's definitely not the type of guy that's willing to go to war more than these two. These two guys are going to, I mean, this is a march forward.
Yes.
Who's going down first?
No, literally.
I'm really, really excited.
And DDP, underrated nickname, Still Knox.
Still Knox is kind of sick. I saw that.
I always forget that's his nickname. That's cold. This is a banger of a main event. I mean, if you would have... Sean Strickland's been main eventing at the Apex for, like, the last 2 years.
It's his fifth consecutive main event, actually. Yeah,
that's wild.
And he's only 2-2, I think, in the main... No, well, now... I don't know. No, he was 2-2 going into Adesanya. Which is crazy to think about, and he won.
He's too cold.
He is. So what are you thinking here?
PJ. I didn't wear this shirt for no reason. I don't know if you saw it when you walked in. Come on.
I did.
The American Psycho. I, in our entire history of our podcast, and probably in the entire history of me being a UFC fan, have never actually bet against Sean Strickland. I've always picked him to win all of his fights. And that does not change this Saturday. I will be going with Sean Strickland. Eventually, he's going to overwhelm DDP with the pace. I am worried about the onslaught DDP can bring, but I'm sure you'll kind of speak on that. But, yeah, I'm going to go fourth round TKO.
Okay.
Overwhelms Trickus.
Fair.
What about you?
So just by overwhelm?
Strikes. TKO? Strickland's not a big power guy.
He's not.
Similar way he beat Abus, where like Abus was just like, you could see that the fight was essentially out of him. Yeah. That being said, though, Drickus, like, he, for as goofy of as a fighter he is, like,
I love Drickus.
He is so goofy. He's a, but he doesn't stop swinging. Even when he looks like he's dead tired, he goes to war. So. It's going to be hard to get him out of there.
Yeah, so you got fourth round TKO.
Yeah.
Fair. But, speaking on that, you know, it looked like early in his career. I remember watching Drickus, he beat Brad Tavares and then Darren Till, and I was like, dude, I really, really like this guy a lot. Mm-hmm. But he looks like he's dead tired 2 minutes into each bout. And, you know, it's because... One of his nostrils, or it might have been both his nostrils, were he couldn't breathe out of his nose at all. And he got that fixed before the Rob Whitaker fight. Let me tell you, he torched Rob Whitaker. Like, he looked like the best 185-pounder in the history of the game. Beating Rob Whitaker.
He ran over. He took him down with a headlock. That doesn't happen in men's MMA.
I mean, he ransacked him.
I remember I made like 3 parlays that night, and all of them had Whitaker beating DDP.
I didn't bet on it because I remember texting him like, dude, if DDP wins, I'm going to just laugh so hard.
That was the first time I ever lost money, and I was like, this is still hilarious. It was so funny.
I mean, he went from looking dead tired against an old washed Derek Brunson. Yeah. I'm like, dude, that was the most brutal fight I've ever watched. To just outclassing, I mean, arguably probably a
top 3 middleweight of all time.
I was gonna say top 5, but top 3 isn't even crazy to say. Yeah. But Yeah, no, that's nuts. But with that being said, I'm not going to lie. I talked to Paul the other day. Actually, I saw him at the gym, and I asked him real quick what he had. And him and I had the same exact prediction, actually.
Shout out Paul Zuckman.
And, yeah, we got to get Paulie back on here.
Yeah, we'll get him.
But I think Dricus has such a weird whack style. And honestly, like I said, winner of this, I'll be happy regardless. But I've gone against DDP like three times in a row. No, I didn't against Darren Till, but I didn't have him beating Brunson. I didn't have him beating no one had him beating Whitaker. I'm sorry. I think I have to do it. I think I got DDP, and I'm gonna go by third round TKO. And while I can very well see your prediction happening, I think those are the two most likely outcomes: is Strickland outpaces and overwhelms him, or I honestly just think Dricus lands one of those.
Yeah,
I don't even know how to describe it. One of these stupid looking leftover hooks that lands.
He's a weird guy.
I just think it's so weird, and I don't even know if I can see Strickland getting flatlined unless it's Alex Pereira. But like, I gotta go with DDP.
I'm not gonna lie. There's a very big part of me that can see that being a possibility.
I think we picked the two most likely outcomes here.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, because the way Sean fights, it's like, realistically, he wants to be coming forward, slipping stuff. But like, when he goes backwards, like, he's good at like sticking his arms out to block the punches. But like, you've seen versus Cannoneer, some of them times he would get real close, or it just.
I think Dricus's power is like super underrated too. That's just why, I don't know. It's hard. I'm very indifferent. That's why the betting odds on this, you know, Dricus is +100.
Yeah,
Strickland's -120. It's a pick'em fight here. So, you know, you got no real value on either fighter. It's, you know, it's 50-50. But I'm super, super excited. I do think before the Whitaker fight, I would say if these two fought, it was fairly obvious the only advantage here that stood out would have been Strickland's cardio and pace, in which I still think he has the better pace and cardio, but DDP breathing out of his nostrils is 1-0 with a dominant victory over Whitaker. And, yeah, you know, I'm happy I'm not a massive fan of either one of these guys, because if I was, I'd actually be quite nervous for this fight, as I presume you're a tad nervous.
I am. I mean,
still confident in that shirt's sick, but still confident in your man, in your guy.
I am.
Tarzan.
And my boy Strickland, it's like, I'm glad. I don't know. I don't even know how I became a fan of him. Because sometimes he will say stuff where I'm like, bro.
Well, I mean, yeah.
With
a guy who talks as much as him. It's the same with Colby Covington. Yeah. I felt the same way. He talks a lot. He's hilarious. But there are things you say, you're like, dude.
Why are you saying that?
Yeah. Strickland's just hilarious.
Yeah. But, I mean, I'm glad people have kind of gotten to, like, get to know him better, kind of his psychology.
Yeah. He's got a great story.
Yeah. It definitely reveals a lot more to him, like, the way he acts and stuff like that. And if you think, like, if you listen to him, like, when he's actually being serious and, like, talking about, like, you know, how he sees the world and stuff like that, there's a lot of stuff where I'm, like, listening to it and I'm like, I mean, this guy's no Shakespeare, but sometimes he's saying stuff where I'm like, you know, if more people thought like that, I think we'd live in a better world.
Yeah, no, for sure. He's just one of those guys where, you know, he's not scared to say what I would say, I mean, most of the time, the truth, and, you know, some people in today's day and age, you know, are scared to speak up. But, yeah, no, he definitely, he's anything but shy. Yeah. That's for sure. And Dricus, yeah, no, I don't know. I really like Dricus. I really like Sean. Whoever gets their hand raised, I'll be super, super happy for. I'm just sad one of these guys have to lose because I don't know. The relationship these two guys have right now, it's just funny to me.
I fear that if Sean loses, and we never see him fight for a title again. That's my only fear.
That's true. But let's be realistic here. He's going to either be, you know, main eventing a fight night. Yeah. Let's just say if he loses, hypothetically, he's going to main event a fight night, or he's going to be like a co-main event against, you know, somebody.
Wow, it's crazy because I remember when he's gotten kicked off Instagram like three times, and I refollow him every time he makes a new Instagram account. And the last one couldn't have been more than like 18 months ago, and I remember like looking at a fall on it, and it was like 50,000 followers.
Yeah,
he has like 1.5 million followers now. Yeah. It's crazy.
No, it's ridiculous.
How much his fan base has grown in such a short time.
No, it's great, but I'm hyped.
Oh, yeah,
at least for the main event. I mean, the whole main card, honestly, It's quite interesting. I mean, I'm like really intrigued to watch Allen versus Ivloa because I mean, like we know Ivloa is good, but like
it'll be interesting. Like I would like to see Ivloa lose, obviously. And you know, we'd like to see the exciting fighter win. But again, like it's crazy. Still, I mean, I'm beating a dead horse here, but it's just crazy that these guys, like these ranked fighters, just think that like just by beating another ranked fighter, they'll somehow like earn bigger and bigger shots. Like, yes, theoretically, that's how it should work. Like, you know, if you're the number 10 guy, you beat the number 5 guy, you should be fighting the number 1 guy next. But if the number 12 guy fights the number 6 guy, and they decide to actually make a big show out of it and make it worth people's time, it's like, but not worth people's time, but worth people's interest, then they're gonna get rewarded more than the guys that don't say anything.
Yeah. For sure.
But, you know, that might just be, like, the PR and me talking. I would love to see you. I just like storylines. And
you know, I just realized that this is DDP's 6th consecutive time fighting on a massive a big pay-per-view fight.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I didn't realize it coming up. You know, he fought on the Marias Sanhagen undercard at the Apex. And then they put him directly on the Poirier-McGregor trilogy.
Jesus.
Which I don't remember that one.
No, couldn't tell you.
But Adesanya, I mean, I didn't realize he's fought on straight pay-per-views until I was just looking at his resume. But interesting. And yeah, wait, what is this? Is it his fifth or sixth consecutive? This is Strickland's 5th consecutive main event now.
Yeesh. That's my boy, though. That is my boy. Did you see that?
Oh, he also headlined the Hermanson fight and the Uriah Hall fight. So this would be his 7th main event. But this Saturday going down in Canada, Scotiabank Arena, we got DDP. We got your boy, the American Psycho, Tarzan, Still Knox.
That's my boy.
We went, 4 out of 5, the same fighters just till the main event?
Dude, yeah. Yeah, I tell you what, this has been a good year of predictions for the Split Decision podcast. I feel like we've really gotten a lot better at picking.
We have. At the beginning, we used to get 2 out of 5 every time. Yeah, I feel like
it's because we would just be like, who do I like more?
Well, yeah, I used to vote with my heart and not my gut, my head. Yeah, but
your sacred gut.
Yeah. Any final words?
Follow the Split Decision Podcast on Instagram and on Twitter. Check out the Split Decision Podcast website with the blogs and everything. Shout out Jack. Shout out IUS TV. Where do we find the website at?
I just made like a free, it's like one of those free, you know, crap websites. I was just bored.
But yeah, you still
But I wrote a whole preview on it.
Read the preview.
It's on the Twitter.
Twitter.
So, if you want to check that out, that'd be greatly appreciated.
Yes. And,
You covered it all for me. So,
I love talking to you, bro.
Yeah. No, it's just fun.
We should do it more often.
Yeah, we probably should.
Let's do it.
Alrighty.
Alright then. Alright, Jada, shout out everyone. Have a good day. Bet on Strickland.
Adios.